The Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back into the bullpen. I always wanted to hit it right on the beat drop, and I think we got pretty close this time. Welcome back is the bullpen. I am Sean Mapes. Joining me is Andrew Carlson and Brian McDonald. And joining all three of us, old friend from Texas Sports Unfiltered, formerly of the Wheelhouse, Brad Kellner. Brad, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. You know, all that talk about boning in the last segment, I'm not entirely sure what I'm walking into, but good to hear from y'all. Gentlemen, how are y'all?
Doing great, doing better now that we get to hear your voice back on ESPN 97 airwaves. And speaking of boning, Brad, you know who got boned? Florida State. What do you think? What do you think of the Florida State versus Alabama controversy in the last year of this four-team college football playoff?
Well, I think the committee got it wrong, but I'm incredibly grateful that they did, because nobody wanted to watch Florida State just get boat raced by either Michigan or Washington in a college football playoff semifinal. So, look, Florida State did everything right. They went 13-0. They won their conference championship. They won 18 straight games going back to last season. Like, they clearly had done enough to get in, and they should have gotten in. But for us, you know, the fans who want great games, it's so much better that Alabama is in. So, yeah, they got jobbed. They have every right to be upset. But I'm grateful, because Alabama is going to give Michigan a much, much better game.
BK, first of all, phenomenal to hear your voice again. But I'm going to put the tinfoil hat on here for just a second. Do you give any credence to the idea that the committee maybe leaves Florida State out just so there's a little bit more controversy and everyone is way more accepting of an expanded playoff come next season?
Ooh, yeah, see, that's an interesting theory. You know, like, I really believe in every other ranking before the last one, the committee is looking to stir the pot. Like, they want people talking about college football because, look, it's huge as college football is. It's not the NFL. And, you know, college football wants some controversy. They want people talking about them. So I think you get some randomness in all of the other rankings before the last one. I don't know if it's this. You know, there was a part of me that thought they would take the path of least resistance, which I thought was just getting Florida State in there. But you got to remember, like, it's just a business, man. And more eyeballs and more tickets being sold and just more people locked into college football happens when you've got Alabama in over Florida State. So, yeah, obviously, I mean, the cries for the 12-team playoff are louder than they've ever been. Now, there have been some years in the past where we had to force our way to get four teams in, and this year it feels like you could have had seven or eight that really had a chance to win a national championship this season. So I don't know if that's true, but obviously a lot of fans are clamoring for a 12-teamer this year. It would have been nice.
Brad Kellner from Texas Sports Unfiltered joining us here on the Bullpen, ESPN Radio, 97.5 and 92.5. BK, I'm going to get into the Texas Longhorns questions, because hey, Florida State, that's great. But Sean and I mostly want to know, what's the latest on Xavier Worthy? Are we going to have to panic on this all the way up to kickoff on January 1st, or what is his status currently?
Yeah, he should be fine. Steve Sarkisian met with the media the day after the playoff rankings came out, and he said Worthy's going to be good to go. By all accounts, he's fine. Obviously, the practices will start to pick up a little bit next week, but I expect Xavier Worthy to be out there. And I think he's going to be fine. And that's obviously important for Texas. I mean, this guy might be a first-round wide receiver in April's NFL draft, and Texas is probably going to need to score against Washington, who's got the number one passing offense in the country. A Heisman finalist in Michael Penix Jr., a Biletnikoff finalist in Roma Dunze. I think this game could turn into a little bit of a shootout. So, yeah, Texas is going to need Xavier Worthy out there, because they're going to have to score, I think.
And going a little bit further into this Washington matchup, you mentioned the number one passing offense and the, I don't know, three NFL wide receivers that Washington has with Michael Penix getting them the ball. I initially was happy that Texas was in when it was revealed that they were going to play Washington in the playoff. And then I thought that this was probably the worst matchup that they could have gotten dealt. Do you agree with that, Brad, just given the pass defense versus the passing offense of Washington?
Yeah, do we know if it's Michael Penix or Penix? Do we have any idea?
I'll call him Penix for now.
Okay, yeah, I like that one more.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a horrible matchup. I really do. Like, Texas is favored by 4, and I understand why they're favored. Like, Texas is a more talented team, but the Longhorns' pass defense ranks 85th in college football. And, yeah, I just mentioned that Washington has the number one passing offense in the country, and Penix led the nation in passing yards this year. So, yeah, like, obviously we saw Texas beat Bama. They were able to handle them earlier this year. And Michigan's a run-first type of offense. Texas has one of the best run defenses in the nation. So you could definitely make that case, Sean, that the Longhorns actually match up better against either Michigan or Alabama than they do Washington. So, yeah, I mean, the bad news for Texas, the secondary's been bad all year. Jalen Catalon, who transferred in from Arkansas, has entered the portal, and he's not going to play in the playoffs. That's one of Texas's best safeties, so he's out. And then Derek Williams, another safety, who's a true freshman, who's really come on strong in the second half of the season. He got ejected in the second half of the Big 12 championship game, so he's got to serve that punishment and miss the first half of the Sugar Bowl, which is a crock of crap, but it's a conversation for another day. So, yeah, Texas already bad in the defensive backfield, and they're going to be without some bodies against Washington. So it is a little scary to think about, yeah, if Michael Penix is given time back there to fire to those receivers, it could be a long day for the Texas defense.
Another, obviously, the Texas Longhorns dealing with a lot of injuries off this season, and wondering about Xavier Worthy is on top of her mind, but one injury they seem to dealt with fairly well has been the loss of Jonathan Brooks at running back. Brooks looked like he was going to be, you know, maybe a top second round pick. He was looking like he was putting up similar numbers to Bijan, not nearly as good as Bijan, but certainly had been playing well. Tears his ACLs out for the year. But your overall feeling on how the Longhorns have replaced the production of Brooks with Baxter Blue and Robinson?
Yeah, look, I said this at the time of the injury, right? Like, no disrespect to Jonathan Brooks. You're right, B-Mac. He was playing at an All-American level, and maybe he wins the Doak Walker Award if he doesn't tear his ACL late in the season. But at the end of the day, he's a running back. Like, running backs are replaceable. It's the same in college. It's the same in the NFL. Like, I wasn't that worried, and that's not a slight at Brooks. I just know Texas had a lot of talent in that running back room, and I figured they'd be able to be okay even without him. So it's interesting, right? Like, you kind of assume when a guy suffers an injury like that, it would make sense for him to come back to school for another year. And I just saw Mel Kiper's latest positional rankings for the 24 draft, and he still has Jonathan Brooks as his number one running back. So I would still put money on Brooks coming back for another year. I know that's not really what you asked, but it's interesting there. But either way, yeah, Texas should be able to run the football pretty well against an average Washington defense. And it's been impressive to see the O-line pick things up. Obviously, Quinn Ewers has played better as of late. And, yeah, the guys have really stepped up despite the absence of Jonathan Brooks, and this team really hasn't missed a beat because of it.
All right, BK, I know I texted you saying that we were bringing you on here to talk Longhorns, but I'm going to be a little bit selfish here because I know the fact that you are a massive college football fan, and I wanted to get your thoughts, most importantly for me at least, on the UH hire of Willie Fritz, but also a little bit on the A&M hire of Mike Elko. What did you make of the hires that these other two schools in Texas made after firing their respective coaches just a few weeks ago?
Yeah, such a great football year for all of us, AC, right? You know, everyone in the state of Texas having a good time. The Longhorns, the Texans, the Cowboys all playing well. A&M had a great year. Texas Tech had a great year. Houston, it's been fun for everyone, hasn't it?
Fun is not the word I would use to describe it, but I understand why you see it that way.
Oh, man. Yeah, look, it's interesting. Like, I thought Jeff Traylor should have gotten one of those two jobs, honestly. Jeff Traylor's done a great job at UTSA. He's got a ton of recruiting connections across the state because he was a really, really successful high school coach at Gilmer for a number of years. I was told that he talked to Houston, and AC, you might not like this very much, although I think you're a Willie Fritz guy, and I think Willie Fritz is still a good hire. But apparently Houston kind of cheaped out on Jeff Traylor a little bit, which is why they didn't get him. But Willie Fritz, I think, is a really, really good hire, too. I mean, he did a great job at Tulane. He's built programs and had success everywhere that he's been. And I felt this way about UH for a while. I mean, it's just such a recruiting hotbed down there. Like, there is a way that you can have a ton of success as a college football program just by recruiting kids in the Houston area. And obviously with the Cougs making the leap to the Big 12, you would think there's a chance that recruiting can increase. They've got to invest a little bit more into NIL to make that happen. But I like the Fritz hire. And then for A&M, you know, with Elko, like, it could have been worse. I think Stoops would have been a worse hire, and obviously Aggie fans freaked out for the 20 minutes. It felt like Stoops was going to be their head coach. But, yeah, you know, Elko, it's interesting. You pay all of that money to make Jimbo Fisher leave, and then you hire a guy from Duke who obviously did some good things in his 2 years at Duke. He's got some connects. You know, obviously coached at A&M, was a DC there, so he knows some of the players. So he's trying to kind of keep the BBs in the box to make sure everybody doesn't leave. But I'm not sure how well this is going to work. I don't think it's a bad hire. I just don't think it's as well as they could have done. And I think it might take them a couple of years to really right the ship in College Station. So, yeah, look, I think both schools needed to make the move. I think both fan bases are glad that the moves were made. I think both hires have the chance of being good, but I wonder if they could have been even better.
Brad Kellner with us. Brad, I could listen to you talk for, I don't know, 4 hours, 5 days a week, but unfortunately, we got to let you go. At Brad Kellner, do we find him on Twitter? What time, or when can we watch you? When can we listen to you on Texas Sports Unfiltered?
I appreciate the chance to plug, guys. Yep, go subscribe on YouTube, Texas Sports Unfiltered. We're live from 8 to 5. I'm on from 8 to 10 in the morning every day. So, you know, nobody likes John and Lance that much anyways, right? Those guys, they don't want to hear coughing into the microphone. I assume they still do that. So, now, of course, listen to ESPN, but also check us out if you're a Longhorn fan or just a sports fan in general and you want to see what we've got going on. Yeah, give us a subscribe on YouTube, and we'd really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brad Kellner, for your time. Coming up next on The Bullpen, we're going to the leftovers. We're going to talk some Shohei Ohtani, some David Carr, and much, much more. That's next on The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com on the Chase Long.
Excuse me.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's, man, is this another one of those super long rejoins? There's like five lines of text here before you even find out what the show is. I'm not sure if this is a good use of our time, man. Hold on a second. Look, I'm going to edit this a little bit and save us all some time, okay? It's The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Thank you, Spencer. We got to get some shorter rejoins. I mean, ironically, that one was a pretty long one because he was commenting on how long it is.
Yeah, all he had to do was just say the actual name of the show, yeah, and it would have been 15
seconds
shorter.
Actually, I'm going to call out Michael Carroll. He could have edited out all that stuff that came before the last 3 seconds.
Yeah, because these, to take people behind the curtain, these aren't live that he's doing this. These are recorded. So you can't,
I mean,
just
take everyone behind the curtain even further. Michael Carroll might be the laziest person in the building. I mean, he barely works any hours. He's like here. He's here at 11, gone at 2. So, I mean, really, Michael needs to put in more work.
Yeah, for sure. Coming up? I don't know. I got so scared that of the wrath of Michael Carroll. I was shook.
I'm sure there'll be retribution coming.
Was he in the building Thursday or Friday? I don't think so.
No, I didn't.
Lazy,
see him.
Takes vacation days. Who does that?
Well, Paul Gallant.
Not me.
Yeah, the bench.
Yeah. Paul Gallant at the bench. Anyway, know who's not taking vacation days soon? Shohei Ohtani. I don't know if that transition made sense.
But, it worked.
Yeah, whatever. Baseball writers aren't taking any time off because they have to cover Shohei Ohtani's free agency. And he wanted a very private, really low-key free agency. And I think the lesson here is that when you're the best player in your sport and you try to have a private free agency, everyone freaks out. Because there's not enough information going around. Did you see what was happening on Friday, Andrew, with Shohei Ohtani's flight?
See, you guys aren't soccer fans, so you're not familiar with the flight tracking, but this is a common occurrence in the transfer window.
This is
kind of
like SEC, like the coaching hires.
Yeah, yeah. You get this like once a year for like, I think Mike Elko's flight got tracked going to College Station this year. But yes, this is definitely new to the world of baseball. I'll definitely say this. This might be a usual occurrence when it comes to soccer or college football. Baseball fans have never lost their minds like they've lost their minds tracking a private aircraft in 616RH. This is the last time I'll say the model number of that plane. departing from Orange County, California to Toronto. And so, obviously, who else could be on that plane but Shohei Ohtani? This was the public
opinion. Any flight from California to Toronto can only be for one thing.
It has to be for Shohei Ohtani. The problem is, this one was not for Shohei Ohtani. This one was actually one of the sharks from Shark Tank.
It was his plane?
Yeah. Hold on. I don't have his name in front of me. I can see his face. It's not Mark Cuban, not Mr. Wonderful, not Damon John. It's Robert Herjavec. I don't know. He normally sits on the far right of Shark Tank. For those who watch Shark Tank and then don't know the shark's name, like myself. John Morosi came out and tweeted from MLB Network. Sources, Shohei Ohtani is en route to Toronto today. A representative from his agency would not comment when asked on Shohei Ohtani's travel plans. At this hour, Shohei Ohtani does not have a signed agreement with any MLB team. So that seems like a report that's a whole lot of nothing, if you really think about it, that he's en route to Toronto, but his agency would not comment when asked.
It's one of those reports that makes you wonder about the details of how he got to the point of sending out that tweet, because either he has bad sources who lied to him, or he's just making up stuff on his own.
Yes. Yeah, so I don't know which one it is, but Bob Nightingale from USA Today about an hour later cleaned up the mess a little bit. He said Shohei Ohtani is not in Toronto. Not was in all caps. Another one's coming up here. Ohtani is not on a flight to Toronto. Ohtani is at home in Southern California. This led John Morosi to tweet out at 10:05 p.m., so about 6 hours later. Today, I posted reporting that included inaccurate information that Shohei Ohtani was traveling to Toronto. I regret the mistake, and I apologize to baseball fans everywhere. I'm deeply sorry for letting you down. Honestly, this was more...
He doesn't need to apologize for anything. This has been the most entertaining part of MLB free agency.
Well, A, that. B, his apology did not have to be more strongly worded than Tom Brenneman's apology during the Reds game a couple years
deep
ago.
Deep fly ball to right...
Yes. Shohei Ohtani has made people break their brains with this. I don't know what happened. I don't know why MLB doesn't have like a Woj or Shams reporter where it's like, if this guy says it, you know it's gospel. I mean,
well, like, certainly that guy is not John Morosi.
Not John Morosi. Not really Bob Nightingale either. Not really John Heyman. We saw his...
What was his thing? He had the thing last year with Aaron Judge and the Giants, right?
Yeah. So I don't know why MLB has the messiest offseason, or they don't have the messiest offseason. They have the messiest offseason reporting of any of the teams, but they also have the most boring offseason. Quick, where do you think Shohei Ohtani goes?
Dodgers.
I would also agree. I believe he goes to the Dodgers.
Reportedly, they're trying to make Joe Kelly change his number so that Shohei Ohtani could get his number 17.
Well, I heard that he was on a flight to Toronto, so I'm going to go.
You're saying you don't believe the reports?
I stand with John Morosi. Up next on The Leftovers, we have David Carr with a interesting take about the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think the only way that they get there, to Imrob's point, is Jalen is 100% and he is that dynamic weapon in the run game, because that creates your offense on the outside and your one-on-ones. Clearly, Jalen isn't comfortable reading through a defense in a drop-back pass scenario. Some would say he's not even good at it. And I think that when you look at this team, you have to have a serious conversation if you're Philly. And you have to really say, is it better for us to play Marcus Mariota right now and let Jalen get really fully healthy? Ooh. Because I would argue that it does not matter if you're the number one seed. Because if the 49ers come into Philly again, they do not care. They do not care. If raining in Philly, doesn't matter. But irrelevant.
Andrew, do you think the Eagles should bench Jalen Hurts? Do you agree with the first Texans quarterback ever?
Absolutely not. This take is one of the more idiotic things we've heard this week. Now, we've heard some worse stuff from some people that we're going to talk about later on in the show, potentially in that final segment.
This one didn't have a history lesson in it.
Yeah, there was no history lesson involved. But to act as if Marcus Mariota, who we have seen be a really, really bad quarterback at the NFL level for multiple seasons now, he got benched by the Falcons, then quit on them midseason last year. And we're just going to say that that guy should now be the starting quarterback for the Eagles to allow Jalen Hurts to get healthy, who on top of all of that Also, later on in that clip, which we cut off a little bit early.
Mercifully.
He mentioned that he believes that Mariota would be better throwing the football than Jalen Hurts right now, which is just laughable to me. Knowing everything that we know about Marcus Mariota, to act as if he could ever possibly be an upgrade on any sort of version of Jalen Hurts would be ridiculous.
It's funny how quickly people freak out over one loss. I mean, the Eagles, correct me if I'm wrong, they're 10-2.
They
got two of them. They have one loss to the 49ers in a game that doesn't matter by the time we get to January and everyone's losing their mind. I don't see how it would help the Eagles' chances. If I'm to take this idea seriously from David Carr, how would it help the Eagles' chances for Jalen Hurts to like sit out a month and be completely rusty by the time he gets back for the playoffs? How would that help the Eagles?
He could go to quarterback school and learn how to read a defense like David Carr knew how to read a defense.
You know what the Eagles need to do? Not worry about the quarterback position and fix their defense. 22nd in the league overall in total defense.
They're horrible against the passes, Brock Purdy, sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to scroll down to where they are.
I'm sure their numbers are a lot
defense.
Worse now than they were last
week.
Yeah,
24th in scoring defense. They are 29th in red zone defense. They're last in the league in third down defense.
Like, so do they need a bench Darius Slay?
Clearly, Jalen Hurts is the issue when your team is having all these defensive problems, right? Like, it's not, you didn't lose to the 49ers because you gave up a bajillion points at home. It's clearly Jalen Hurts' fault, and we need to bench him for Marcus Mariota.
Well, you can listen to see if the Eagles take David Carr's advice and bench Jalen Hurts here on ESPN 97.5.
Oh, that's right. We have Sunday Night Football tomorrow.
Sunday Night Football tomorrow. Eagles, Cowboys. See if Marcus Mariota takes any snaps. And one last story in the leftovers. I have to make time with this. Anytime Stephen A. Smith is talking about not sports, not Jordan versus LeBron, he is welcome to be on the show. And, well, on his, this was on First Take, this was on the Stephen A. Smith show, he talked about women.
I had a girl, and you know, I'm a booty legging hitman to the core. You don't have that. It's insulting that you've even approached me, okay? I had a girlfriend that obviously was stacked, Kardashian, J-Lo, Beyonce type stack. You know what I'm saying? And we were getting into an argument a few years ago, and she was living in Chicago, and it was Thanksgiving. And I was about to send her behind back. She ticked me off that much. But she had on a lingerie. And I was on the other side of the room. And then she got up, and you know, she was getting on and talking and running her mouth and all this stuff. Then she turned and she walked away. Her body was in the bedroom, but the booty was sticking outside of it. Stay with me. When I saw that, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I walked up to her and I said, it's really not that important what we were arguing about. It's not that important. Because I knew that by that night, because we were going to go out to the family and all this stuff, I knew by the end of that night, I wanted that.
Brian, do you agree with this relationship advice from, I guess this is advice, this is mostly just a story from Stephen A. Smith?
I will say that it's not, it's more than zero times where you've been in an argument and then things like Stephen A. described, maybe change your mind. It's like, you know what, it's not that important. I don't want to jeopardize what I could get in the future. So, yeah, I'm with Stephen A. Smith on that. No argument is worth losing that over.
As a fellow booty, hip, and leg guy,
you consider yourself a booty,
also,
leg, and hip man?
I also have to agree.
I think that's most
honestly
men.
Sounds like Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
I have very little to add here. Stephen A. Smith is just... his podcast is something else entirely, and I appreciate that he is finally getting the opportunity to show more of his character.
Of his character.
Yeah, he's really been shy. He hasn't really loose yet.
Finally, gets to loosen up a little. Well, from one guy who has revolutionized sports television to a segment that's revolutionized sports radio, Mount Rushmore Plus One is next on The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, right where you belong.
That song belongs to me!
Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel. When pizza
slices on a bagel. You can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon the monument and asked, what if we added one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Thank you, Spencer. That was way, way better of an introduction than I think we deserve. But
that
wow,
was really good.
That was incredible. What a surprise. Thank you, PMAC.
You're welcome. Shout out to the very lazy Michael Carroll for helping me with that one.
I finally woke him up.
Yeah, finally woke him up and he did a work.
Do his job. This is Mount Rushmore Plus One, like you said, or like you heard Spencer say, a achievement equal to that of
the moon landing.
The Berlin Wall getting torn down, and Bagel Bites?
Yes, Bagel Bites.
Bagel Bites. Pizza.
All on equal standing.
All on equal. And Mount Rushmore Plus One. it's our first Mount Rushmore Plus One in a while. I really have forgotten how we divvy up who goes first and who goes second.
Usually just someone stepping up to say either I want to go first or if they have a list that's going to leave us speechless, then they have to go last.
All right. So my list will definitely leave you speechful. So I think I'll go first.
You go first? All right, go ahead.
I'll go first. This is in honor of the Houston Rockets, who we mentioned earlier, and their big win last night. I have the Mount Rushmore Plus One of Rockets moments since Chris Paul got hurt in Game 5 of the 2018 Western Conference
Finals. You have five of them?
Yes, there are five of them.
Okay.
A lot of them are clumped together, I'll say.
How many are from the win against Denver?
Don't step on. Number one, I think this is just in order of where they happen among a linear timeline, if you believe in a linear timeline.
Time's
number
a flat
one,
circle, Sean.
James Harden blocking Lou Dort's shot. Oh, I misspelled shot in the document. Blocking his shot in Game 7 of the 2020 first-round series.
In the bubble.
What a moment. But honestly, the last good one before this year, the only defensive highlight in James Harden's 8 years of being a Houston Rocket.
He had a couple more,
did he?
Just not as iconic.
I remember him getting blocked by Manu, but I don't remember him blocking anybody.
Hater B-Mac, fine.
He got a deflection when Giannis threw the ball against his face that one time. That was a pass breakup.
Look, I'm sure that James Harden has made one or two other defensive plays in his entirety of his career as a Rocket.
Break down the post defense.
Look, I'm James Harden homer over here.
I expect your Mount Rushmore plus one to be the best defensive plays in James Harden's history.
Andrew Morey over here. Number two, this is still in the bubble. Russell Westbrook yelling at all the wives and children section against the Lakers. That has to be a top five moment.
That is where the Rockets were at for a few years. Yes, yeah. That was a highlight.
I mean, maybe by the end of this year, I hope Russell Westbrook yelling at women and children in the bubble gets kind of pushed off this list. But for now, this is definitely...
It's undeniably a high spot right now.
Number three, this is actually kind of what got the gears turning even more. Oklahoma City trading Alperen Sengun to the Rockets on draft night in 2021 for two first-round picks that have not yet conveyed.
So far,
they have not actually gotten anything.
Were they protected? Is that
protected
why they...
picks okay. from Washington and Detroit. So pretty heavily protected, I would say. And so, again, the Thunder have not gotten anything for trading Alperen Sengun so far. Obviously, Alperen Sengun should be an all-star, like I said early in the show, and should be most improved player of the year, as I got backed into saying.
Because there's no other candidate.
Because I could not think of another candidate. Kobe White is who he has to go up against. Number four on the Mount Rushmore Plus One of Rockets moments since Chris Paul got hurt in Game 5 of the 2018 Western Conference Finals. The in-tournament, the in-season tournament win against the Pelicans. That might have been...
That's going on your Mount Rushmore Plus
One?
Wow. Well, it was the in-season tournament. The rest of these... Well, I guess two of them are in the bubble playoffs. The rest of them are either the draft or regular season.
Fair enough.
This game means more. And I kind of think this is the Rockets' kind of Texas' back moment for this team.
Careful.
That's when I thought this team was, like, actually good. I'm like, this team, I believe
if this is the this is back moment, that means we got about 3-4 more years before they're actually good.
Well, you know,
that's on the timeline.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But that's when I started fully believing in this team being able to compete, not just for in-season tournament championships, but for actual championships as well. And then the last one, last night against Denver, the first three quarters of last night win against the Denver Nuggets. The fourth quarter, not one of the greatest moments, but the first three quarters, awesome. Biggest win of the Udoka era.
The bar was set really low for these best moments.
I mean, yes.
I got two regular season games on here and a draft.
We had Russ yelling at women and children.
Yes, at first, I wanted to do since the bubble, or since they traded hard, and I was like, this is way too hard. So I had to include the bubble.
Got
to
think way too much about this.
Yes. All right. Who wants to go next?
I can go next.
You go next? Okay.
All right. My Mount Rushmore plus one is things I've done on the Saturday morning since we last hosted a show.
Oh.
So, the first one. Pray to my shrine of University of Houston President Renu Kator for Dana Holgerson's firing.
Oh,
and that came through.
That exactly. came through.
Yeah, congratulations.
You wanted a man to lose his job?
Ugly make ugly. And in this case, ugly made pretty.
I didn't know you practice witchcraft, Andrew, but I'm sure Cougs fans are glad you do.
Look, I do whatever it takes to get the results I need for the University
Mission
of Houston.
Mission accomplished.
Whatever it takes. Number two. They didn't win today, but I, multiple times on Saturdays, have watched by far the greatest team the world has ever seen.
Oh,
Arsenal
God.
FC.
Number well, three. I guess second best team, because clearly Aston Villa, yeah. greater sign
no,
Arsenal.
No, they won today, BMAC. That does not mean they are better.
I mean, okay. Results on the field matter. Hello.
Premier League
Not to
table.
The committee, apparently, but... That's neither here nor there.
That's what the Premier League needs, the playoff committee.
Yeah, exactly. Number three,
wow.
I nearly Liverpool. Died of the flu after not being allowed at my family's Thanksgiving.
We haven't talked about this.
Expand upon this.
I haven't heard this.
The wording of that makes it seem like you almost died of the flu because you were not allowed at Thanksgiving.
That would almost be better, but unfortunately that is not the case, so... BMAC, you filled in for me during the Thanksgiving week, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So, that Tuesday, basically I came down with the flu, so I spent all my vacation days, aka Tuesday and Wednesday, just being deathly sick in my bed, and I continued to deal with flu-like symptoms all the way up until, like, Sunday afternoon.
Oof.
So, essentially, I was not allowed at Thanksgiving with the family, because I was coughing up a lung, had a fever over 102, and just had to sit in bed and be miserable and watch football all day as I tried not to die.
So Michael Jordan's flu game was beating the Jazz in the NBA Finals. Andrew Carlson's flu game was...
watching UT versus Texas Tech on Friday night.
Yes.
And not being allowed at his family's Thanksgiving.
Number four on my Mount Rushmore plus one of things I have done on Saturdays since we last hosted a show. Attempted to use a brunch to fight off the hangover that has told me I am far too old to drink like I did the previous night.
Oh, wow. You're not as good as you once were.
I'm washed.
But you're as good once as you ever was.
No, I'm washed. I'm washed. And it depresses me greatly that
So you found out you're washed in
the So you're washed at 29?
No, I've known that I'm washed, Sean, okay. But it's just a constant reminder okay. that I am still washed. Okay. And
washed at 29?
Yes, BMAC, I'm washed at 29.
Wow. Only downhill from here.
Until we start taking steroids. Then we'll go back up. Last but not least.
Start taking TRT. The last
yeah.
one.
Last
yeah,
but not least.
We don't test TRT. It's being 97.5.
On a Saturday, and this is relatively recent, I celebrated the fact that I didn't have to be on the air with U2 Texas Blowhards while the Longhorns won the Big 12 one final time. If I had to experience that...
It was like you were there with me and Sean.
Yeah, I just did not need that in my life. So I'm very glad that we did not have a show that day and we carried the game instead, because if I had to be on the air while I watched you two be happy and watched your Longhorns win...
And watch me buy a Big 12... WWE collab merch live on air.
Yeah,
did you stick around for the Undertaker being part of the celebration?
Look, I didn't stick around past the third quarter, BMAC, so.
You missed the Undertaker giving the belt to Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, things I don't need in my life.
That's disappointing, Andrew.
Watching Sean buy Texas merch, just I don't need any of it.
That's really disappointing. Right. All right, my Mount Rushmore plus one is of manly things I wish I could do, but I am not manly enough to pull off these tasks.
Oh wow!
Number one, fix a car. I am hopeless. I could change a tire.
Okay.
But when people, you know, it's almost like
so when they go like pop the hood.
Yeah, if you see people straight on the side of the road and they have the hood popped, that'd be useless. Or if the mechanic, you know, pops the hood, it's like, oh, you're this pipe and this hose and you're, you know, whatever. I have no idea what they're talking about. I feel like I'm going to get taken advantage of at every turn because I have no idea what's probably going on. Other than I can change a flat tire if I have a flat tire. That's pretty much my only use.
I also can pop the hood. I'm like, there's the battery, there's the engine.
I think that's where I put the windshield wiper fluid, I think.
Yeah, have at it, guys.
Although I have screwed that up before. Next one on my Mount Rushmore plus one of mainly things I wish I could do, fix household items, like when the sink breaks. Like, I don't want to have to spend $300 for some contractor to come out and do a task that takes 30 minutes, but I do because I have no idea how to fix anything.
This not going to be shocking to anyone who either knows me or has listened to me for more than 30 seconds. I also do not know how to do any of these things.
Andrew?
Yeah, that makes all three of us.
Okay, three for three. That's good. At least I'm amongst common folk here.
Yeah.
Number three, I can't build anything. I'd love to be able to be like, oh, we need a coffee table. I can go out to the shed and gather up this wood and cut it or something and make sure I measure it correctly. I can put together a table. No, I have to go to IKEA and feel like my soul is dying walking around that store.
Yeah, I mean, I can barely put together the IKEA thing, let alone mess with hammer and nails.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a Ron Swanson, unfortunately. Number four, care about motorcycles. Like, I see it seems very manly to have a motorcycle and, like, know how to ride it without dying and, like, go to rallies and wear leather. I'm not interested
this
in it.
This is a very specific view of what manhood is.
That's the joke of it, yes. Yeah, that's the joke of it, yes.
B-Mac's giving us a very interesting look into the inner workings of B-Mac.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, I have no interest in motorcycles.
You could get into motorcycles.
I could see you in a jacket.
It is time for my midlife crisis. So
throw the beard out a little more. Maybe get a couple tattoos.
The big, big handlebars.
I don't know. I don't even know what that would be on. Is that a Harley? Is that, I don't know.
Sure.
Whatever. Number five.
713-780-377.
Chopper, yeah.
I think.
Let me know what those are. So last one on my Mount Rushmore plus one of mainly things I wish I could do. Drink in the daytime and pass off my responsibilities as a father like Don Draper. That would be amazing. But unfortunately, someone has to raise the child.
That's the one thing I can do. Well, minus the raise the child part.
Just sit in the corner, drink your whiskey, and let someone else
day
take care
drink.
Of the child.
I got that. Fix a car? No. But day drink? I guess I'm the only person who can still do that with Andrew. Washed Andrew over here.
Look, just because I shouldn't do it doesn't mean I won't do
it. Okay. That's good. Now I'm picturing you with the ice packs on your knees after... Like you're a 20-year NBA vet.
Ice packs on my head, maybe.
You gotta take an ice bath after you have a night out.
Just hammering liquid IVs. Just dry, eating it dry.
Pedialyte on the side. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that was no Josh Vanes this week for Mount Rushmore plus one. I know everyone out there is like, okay, now where's the real one start? Doesn't start this.
Yeah, if you missed the start of the show, Josh is living out his life as a full-fledged Florida man now in Miami.
Yeah, I might get him to like text me a Mount Rushmore.
Maybe we can get him to call in one day.
No, I want him to make one and then I just present it.
Actually, that would be funny.
And don't tell you that it's Josh.
Especially if they text it to Andrew and I, and we could give it to you without you having seen it until right at the moment you have to read it on air.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. Josh gone, but not forgotten. Coming up next, we wrap things up. Hopefully, we will be gone, but hopefully we're not forgotten after we do the things we loved and the worst people in sports this week on The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. One of these guys cheats at fishing.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, you're back inside The Bullpen with the producers from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Wait, who let those guys up here? Security? That's them right there. Right there.
Thank you, Spencer. We will be leaving in about 11 minutes. So, security, don't bother. I'll be leaving on my own accord soon, but not before we do... The worst person in sports this week, Brian, kick us off. Who was the worst person in sports this week?
I'm going to butcher this lady's name. It is a sideline reporter for ESPN, so it's a little bit of ESPN on ESPN crime here, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Her first name is Ashley, last name Strohine. I don't know if you can see this in the Google Doc. I'm just taking a stab at it. Yeah. She was covering an FCS playoff game between Montana and Furman, and the game went into overtime. Montana is the higher seed. They had the ball, first possession, in overtime, and she decides to say something that backfired almost immediately.
Atmosphere all night long, and I can tell you right now, looking around, Grizz fans, they're nervous. I literally just saw someone praying in the stands. They're sitting down, patiently waiting to see what this offense is going to do on this drive. Meanwhile, Furman players, they're on their feet, they're jumping around, and they're feeling like that momentum has shifted in their favor.
No one wants to trust the kicker in this situation. Let's just be honest. McDowell, the seam hits Keelan White.
So if you haven't seen the play, she says Furman has all the momentum. The players are fired up. They're going to win this game. And literally 30 seconds later, less than 30 seconds later, Montana scores the go-ahead touchdown. So good job there to ESPN sideline reporter Ashley Strohine. That was the announcer jinx is undefeated. That was an amazing moment.
That normally it doesn't backfire that quickly.
It was like 15 seconds later, max.
Remarkably fast. My worst person in sports this week is, I guess, the Sugar Bowl. I don't know. This isn't really a person. It's whoever's setting these.
The committee?
Whoever's setting the prices for these Sugar Bowl tickets. The get-in fee is nearly $600, according to Ticketmaster. The average ticket price to watch Washington versus Texas is over $1,200.
Get your money up, Sean.
It is the most expensive college football game in at least a decade.
Look.
I mean, clearly that's the Texas bump. Longhorn bump.
Has to be.
Did you expect anything else with Texas finally playing in a game that means something for the first time since Colt McCoy was on campus?
I feel like Andrew went a long way to take a shot at us there for no reason.
Someone didn't watch Texas versus Notre Dame in 2016. I did. I was there. Other than yourself, who's the worst person in sports this week, Andrew?
Well, my worst person in sports this week, he did something that was pretty disgusting. But it only came to light this past week. It happened in 2019. Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott is, I hope that everyone listening is well aware. In 2019, it has now come to light this week that he made a speech in where he used 9/11 to try and motivate his team.
Okay.
Now, you might be saying, okay, there are a lot of angles that you can
New
go
York
about.
Came together as one.
Did it work?
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of angles you can take with this speech, but Sean McDermott took the angle which I don't think anybody should or could have ever imagined another person taking. He said, we need to essentially band together like the terrorists. We need to organize and work together like the terrorists did to take down the two towers. Sean, I don't know how on earth you ever thought that that was a good idea for in any way, shape, or form to motivate players, but I would recommend that you probably outsource the ideation for your motivational speeches moving forward.
Please don't call him Sean, because that could get confusing.
Sean
for the
McDee.
Call him Coach McDermott. Coach McDermott made those comments, not Sean.
Sean M?
No.
Sean M didn't make those comments?
Names spelled the same way.
Tough look for Sean's everywhere. Now we take a break from swimming with the anger sharks, and we take a backstroke to the Sea of Tranquility. Brian, who's your, what is the thing you loved this week?
There's two pieces of audio with this, but it was from the NBA in-season tournament where ESPN and TNT did something that I don't think they've ever done before, but they did like a co-branded pregame show. And that went, of course, in the only way it possibly could, with Charles Barkley having some words for Stephen A. Smith. And I butchered it and didn't load it. It is not in the screen. Just talk amongst yourself for 1 second. I'll load it.
I mean, getting Charles Barkley and Stephen A. Smith together is going to be audio magic. I just hope you can listen to it. We can have you listen to the audio magic at some point. Andrew,
and that audio is now available.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
And let me tell you something, Stephen Honey. If you come over here with all that loud ass talking tonight, hey, this ain't first take.
Thank you.
This gonna be the first ass whooping you take. If you come over here with that loud ass talk.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta love it when you get those two titans of industry together.
And J.J. Redick had a little bit of a quick follow up the next day on First Take.
In all seriousness, I just want to say one thing. Stephen A., Chuck would absolutely whoop your ass. I think you know that, but I just want to state that for all of America to know, Chuck would whoop your ass.
I think everyone knows that.
That's the fight that America wants to see. Forget Mark Zuckerberg versus Elon Musk. Let's see Charles Barkley versus Stephen A. Smith.
Exactly. Andrew, think you love this in sports this week.
So this is really kind of playing off BMAX here. I just love the fact that we finally got the NBA on TNT crew, the inside the NBA crew, with the ESPN crew. The fact that we finally had this collision of worlds, it's almost like the DC universe and the Marvel universe have come together for a few days. And it's just remarkable to see. It's fun to see because we all know the incredible job that Inside the NBA does. And the next step is to finally get them on a finals game before Chuck retires.
No, it's definitely great how they came together.
Like the WWE and the Big 12, you know, it's just a marriage made in heaven, yes, right, Andrew?
They came together and accomplished their goal, much like someone did over 20 years ago. I forgot who it was. Sean McDermott can help me out. My thing I love this week, and I'm really stretching what this week is, but it got it in there right before the buzzer, was Brett Yormark being the heel that he is, getting booed when he handed the University of Texas the Big 12 title.
Not this week.
Come on. It's all good.
It's not all good.
All right, guys. I look at that as love.
It is.
Hold on.
It wasn't love.
He got booed for seriously so long, it was legitimately uncomfortable. As someone who was in my living room booing him at the TV, it was even a little bit uncomfortable for me. But you know what? Talk bleep getting hit. You know? That's what I'm talking about, Brian.
It was a wonderful moment. That was the most WWE thing of the entire sponsorship.
It definitely was the most WWE thing, other than the shirt I'm wearing.
Yes.
The most WWE thing to come out of that.
I just won the title.
Exactly. That's all we have for this week of The Bullpen. Who knows the next time you'll hear us on the ESPN 97.5 airways. But for Andrew Carlson, for Brian McDonald, I am Sean Mapes. Thank you for listening. Get jiggy with it, Houston.
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
And the bidet, should it break, is there a bidet repairman on site?